for some football.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Tyler Lochner.
It is Monday, July the 25th. Welcome back, everybody, to the FTN DataCast presented by the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer back with you after a fun week of the podcast. Had a couple guests on, had a couple different topics, but my partner in crime, Tyler Lochner, he's back. Tyler, what's up, man? How was your weekend? How was your week? I talked to you before we got on, and it's like, I'm just happy it's not 100 degrees over here. It's been insanely hot over here in Pennsylvania the last 3 days.
Yeah, dude, I feel like it's been hot everywhere. I'm in the Midwest, so same here. And I guess we talk about another Midwest team, the Chicago Bears, today.
Yeah, we are one team away from completing the NFC North in the divisional or team previews. I guess we're doing them in divisional order. The Bears, they are, it's no coincidence why they are the last team we're going to complete in this division, because they're the least interesting team, in my opinion. But having said that, there's always interesting wrinkles in fantasy and in teams, you know, different regime changes, coaching changes, and the Bears are definitely one of those teams, right? They bring in Matt Eberflus from the Colts as the new head coach. Luke Getsy, who was with the Packers, is now their offensive coordinator. So the thing that's the most important to me is what's been kind of the talking point for the Bears the last, you know, I guess little less than a year. It's been trying to provide help for Justin Fields and put him in the best situation to succeed. And last year just wasn't the case, right? It started right away. Like, they drafted him, but they didn't play him in the preseason with any of the first team offensive players. Like, no Allen Robinson. Like, they didn't play him with anybody. And that was already one step behind the eight ball for Justin Fields. And then the play calling, the coaching, it was awful. We'll get into it. But real quick before we get started, anything is a pretty bad idea because we have everything at FTN, but anything in particular that you want to plug that's going on at FTN right now? Because there's a lot. I mean, we're doing content, articles, all that great stuff. I was in the Discord from 8 to 9 p.m. last night. We're having somebody in the Discord pretty much every night chatting. That was fun. So, again, training camp started for a couple teams yesterday. The Bills were yesterday. Day two today. It's time, man.
Yeah, it's a great time at FTN. August is almost here. We've already ramped up with training camp starting. For me this week, I've got two articles coming out. I've got players who will see positive touchdown regression, aka players who will score more touchdowns this year than last. And on the flip side, players who will score fewer touchdowns than last year. So going into some data heavy stuff there. I love the second year scouting report we've got going. Jalen Waddle just came out this morning. I know he's a pretty polarizing player. And then the Sleepers Bets and Bust series is still going. Jeff Ratcliffe released all of his tiers for his rankings. You absolutely have to check that out. Just so much good content.
Absolutely. It's an exciting time. Let's get into the Chicago Bears, though. Again, reiterating the fact that they have a new coaching staff, and hopefully it helps Justin Fields. And we'll talk about it, but a lot of that's going to come from Luke Getsy, who's the offensive coordinator now. Let's start with Justin Fields, who I'm still, despite, you know, an up and down rookie season where he was in and out of the lineup with injuries and didn't start the season, and like I mentioned, was behind the eight ball because he barely played with the starters in the preseason, I'm still incredibly high on Justin Fields. What are your thoughts on Fields? Again, you would have liked to see the Bears add more receiver talent. I know they added, you know, a handful of receivers, but not the caliber of receivers we would like for Justin Fields. But entering year two, full offseason under his belt, new offense that should be more creative. What are your thoughts on Justin Fields?
I really love Fields. And I've started to get a little nervous about how much I like him because he keeps going. I feel like he keeps going later in drafts. But I think it's fair to rank him anywhere from like 14th to 18th. And that's a pretty big gap of, you know, the difference between being a good weekly streamer, maybe you get QB1 upside versus really just only being interesting in two QB leagues. I tend to consider Fields more in like that 14-15 range when I'm actually drafting. So I've ended up with a lot of him just because he's really cheap. And you characterize his rookie year as an up and down one, which I think is true, but I think a more accurate would be down and then up. And right. He finished up like his first 7 games, And I know he wasn't a full-time player in some of those games. Chicago was being really weird with him, but he was scoring like 10 fantasy points a game, even when he was playing full games as the starter, up until halfway through the season. And then in four of his final five games, he scored 27 points, 21 points, 22 points, 22 points. He was a fantasy QB1 in four of those five games. He was hurt weeks 10, 11, 12, 13. But I don't know, dude. Like, I'm really drawn to a player that strung together four of five games with over 20 fantasy points going as the QB, 17? I think the new regime will take advantage of his rushing potential. Like, Fields is a player that, if he pieces it together, his legs, it gives him top five potential. Like, I really, really, really like drafting Fields. It scares me how much I like drafting him because he was not good as a passer. He only completed 159 of 270 passes, had fewer than 2,000 yards, only 7 touchdowns versus 10 interceptions. Like, the passing stats were bad. But rushing, when he was going ballistic those, four of those final five games, he was running the ball 10 times a game, 8 times a game, 9 times a game, 7 times a game. He had a game with over 100 rushing yards and a touchdown, another game with 74 rushing yards. Like, that's like Lamar Jackson level rushing stats and production. So that's what I'm drawn to, honestly.
Yeah, like, Justin Fields was one of my favorite prospects, like, in football coming into the season last year. And like, I've been following him since he's played at high school. Like, I've been a huge Justin Fields fan for a while. So last year's rookie season in a terrible situation isn't going to sway me off of him. I'm still incredibly high on Fields. You mentioned the upside he showed with top 12 finishes in four of his last five games. And we've seen signs of him being a star, right? The game against the Packers in week 14, he had 224 yards and a pair of touchdowns, 74 rushing yards on 9 carries. Then the game against San Francisco in week 8, he had that insane rushing touchdown. Still was 13th best in adjusted completion percentage on deep passes last season, which at Ohio State, he was incredibly accurate as a deep passer. So that was still a huge part of his game. They still have speed on their offense, right? It's not the most, incredible receivers, but, Mooney, Velus Jones, like, they have speed on the offense. And you mentioned the touchdowns, but you also brought this up when we first started talking about Justin Fields months ago, that according to FTN's expected fantasy points tool, Fields' expected passing touchdown number was 14, but he only threw 7. I remember Allen Robinson had a really brutal drop in the end zone on a perfectly thrown ball from Fields. So between everything that was, bad for the Bears' offense last year, Fields also got a little bit unlucky. And I want to talk about Luke Getsy, because last year the Bears, they had no creativity in offense, right? Justin Fields, how in the world is Justin Fields 31st among all quarterbacks in plays out of RPOs? Like, makes no sense. But Getsy with Rodgers the last couple of years has been 15th in pass attempts on RPOs, 9th in 2020. And they were also just not even, as much as the Bears want to run the football, they didn't even set up play action last season, like, at all. Fields, just over 17% of his pass attempts came off play action, which is, not a high number. And if you combine Andy Dalton and Nick Foles last season, they had 81 pass attempts out of play action. If you combine both quarterbacks, that number still would have been just 26 in the league. So, like, their play action rate went down 10% from 2020 as a team. I think with Fields and the running game, you set up more play action, there's going to be more RPOs. And they did make it, like, the offensive line is still a major, major concern.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up.
They did draft a lot of players on the line, so hopefully they pan out. But that is a massive concern still for the offensive line. But yeah, like, I'm still...
Jason Peters retired.
Yeah, Tevin Jenkins has not been good.
James Daniels went out. We do have the offensive line rankings from Dan Fornack at FTN, and the Bears check in at 32nd out of 32. So
yeah, I would rank them the same.
That is a concern. I think they allowed 58 sacks last year, and yes, Fields is mobile, but we've seen, like, with Russell Wilson as an example, mobile quarterbacks often get sacked more. Like, they can spend more time back there trying to, trying to scramble around, make more time. I'm not saying that's going to be the case with Fields, but it can get bad with a bad offensive line. It can get bad real fast. So that's definitely my concern. Again, we're not talking about taking Fields as a fantasy QB1. Like, he's going to be the second quarterback you take.
Yeah.
Unless you like really, really punt on quarterback. So
even if you like,
it's an upside play.
If you wait at quarterback and say you take Derek Carr or Kirk Cousins, you can still draft Justin Fields late, like with one of your final picks. And like, because if Fields hits, he's going to have a higher ceiling than Carr and Cousins and a lot of the quarterbacks that go in that range. So I'm excited to see the offense with Luke Getsy. I'm excited to see Fields in year two. I still think he's an immense talent. There are some concerns with the offensive line and the overall, you know, receiving group, but what Fields showed, especially down the stretch last season, again, four top 12 finishes over the final five games. He rushed for at least 35 yards in like, six of his seven starts. So yeah, I'm still all in on Justin Fields. I'm excited to watch him in year two. Let's talk about the backfield. Dave Montgomery missed a couple games last season, but pretty much since being drafted by the Bears, when he's been on the field, he's seen really fantastic volume. Last year, he averaged over 20 touches per game. And despite missing four games last season, he still finished ninth among running backs in carries, 10th in snaps, 13 in rushing touchdowns. So thoughts on Montgomery here. Do we expect the workload to stay the same? There's been some reports that they might use multiple running backs more this season with Khalil Herbert there, who was really good in Montgomery's absence last season. So Montgomery for me feels like a relatively low ceiling, but relatively safe floor play. But maybe the floor goes down a little bit if we see more Khalil Herbert in this new scheme. And I think this is Montgomery's final year in his contract too.
Yeah, I think honestly you defined it pretty well. He is a fine player where he's going, kind of like as a tail end RB2. And yeah, he's like, he's a safe play. He's a safe floor, but not that high of a ceiling. He only had five games as a fantasy RB1 last year, but he finished as a, and then he had a handful where he had three where he finished as a fantasy RB2. And then he had five where he finished outside of the top 25. So like all over the place. Right. But it's just not exactly the player that I love drafting, but he's going to score you like, you know, at least 10 points a game.
He's a tear break for me because he goes right before him and J.K. Dobbins go like right before the Jacobs Gibson tier where it's like, I don't want to draft Jacobs. I don't want to draft Gibson right now. So like a lot of the teams I've drafted, it's like, okay, I need a running back. Like Montgomery has been kind of like a tear break for me.
So here's where I'm a little interested in Montgomery. When Fields started producing more in the final weeks, like weeks 14 and 15, that is when Montgomery saw two of his three highest targets towards the end of the year. So he had games where he had zero targets, one target, two targets. But then weeks 13, 14, 15, and 16, so a month straight, he had six targets, seven targets, nine targets, and nine targets. Like, is that going to continue? I think it's really hard to bank on that. Like, if Montgomery was seeing four to six targets a game with a ceiling of nine targets a game, he'd probably be a first rounder. Like, I just don't think that's going to happen. But I like looking at trends towards the end of the previous season, and that was certainly one of them. Montgomery being used more as a passer, especially when Fields was, you know, being better. So if there's something to hang your hat on as, okay, can Montgomery unlock his ceiling? I think that's it. But other than that, like, we're not expecting the Bears to be a high scoring offense, right? So no. Montgomery's touchdown potential is not very high. He actually was not bad in terms of touchdowns last year. Overall, he had seven touchdowns, which is, you know, pretty mediocre, but again,
he was 13th in rushing touchdowns and missing four games. And his 12 carries from inside the five were sixth most in the NFL, again, despite missing four games. So I think the Bears are going to clearly want to run the football, especially in close. And I think Montgomery is still the goal line back. Like, again, he's in that RB, like,
he's RB
18 to 20 range for me.
I think he's a fine RB2. And I think there will be, like, he's going to score you, you know, probably at least 10 points a week. So in terms of a floor, like, that's not terrible. But will he score you over 20 points? It'll only happen a couple times.
Yeah, like as long as he plays most of the games, I would be pretty surprised if he finished outside the top like 20 running backs.
Yeah.
And what I guess what kind of propels my interest in Montgomery is the fact that I just want nothing to do with Gibson. I want nothing to do with Jacobs. Dobbins right now is kind of a question mark. And they all go right after Montgomery. But also like just before that, if I can get Breece Hall, if I can get Zeke, I would definitely much rather draft, you know, Hall and Zeke over Montgomery. But yeah, like, he's a safe floor option. But again, like, we've seen some reports that the Bears might use multiple running backs in different ways. And that's where Khalil Herbert comes into play, because he was good last season. He started, he was the lead back for Chicago in weeks 5 to 8 when Montgomery was out. During that span, he was fourth in the league in rushing yards, second in rushing attempts, and he was a top 10 running back in fantasy. Averaged just over 21 touches per game during that span. So where does Khalil Herbert rank for you in terms of the backup running backs? You know, I don't think he's in the, you know, again, not counting Pollard and Dillon, they have standalone value, but like, I don't think he's in the Madison, Daryl Henderson range, but I don't know how far behind that is. He is, because he's played well, and he might even see, I don't know if he's going to see standalone value this season, but it sounds like he's going to see more than just, okay, you'll only get occasional carries if Montgomery's out.
I think he's not that far off from, gosh, dude, I don't know. He's a tricky one. I'll be honest, I have not drafted a lot of him.
Same.
Because the Bears offense doesn't, like I said before, I don't think it's going to be that high scoring on offense. Like, yes, I like Justin Fields, but that's because he's going as like the QB 17. Yes, I like Darnell Mooney, but that's because he's going as the wide receiver 30. I like Cole Kmet. Like, we're going to talk about these players, but like, all of them are cheap. Khalil Herbert, I don't consider him cheap in terms of some of the other running backs going in his range, like Daryl Henderson. He goes a little bit after these players, but Madison, Henderson, Isaiah Spiller, like, usually I've already picked up some of my zero RB targets by the time Herbert's on the board. And then even with Herbert right now, we've got like Rashad White, Daryl Williams, Brian Robinson. Like, I like all those players more than him at cost. So I'm not drafting a lot of him. The potential for him to have standalone value is something that I have kind of overlooked, though. Like,
it's not going to be Tony Pollard level of standalone value, I don't think. But yeah, like, any sort of uptick in touches.
What even would his standalone value be if he gets an uptick in touches? Like, is he going to be a player that you want to put in your flex?
No.
Like, that's hard to see. So, it's tricky, but you're right. I mean, you mentioned the splits when Montgomery wasn't there. Herbert was used as the lead feature back. So
maybe I think it started like the first game it was Damian Williams, and then Herbert just outplayed Damian Williams. I think Williams ended up missing some time too. And then yeah, Herbert's clearly, you know, he's clearly the RB2 in this offense, but I'll be interested to see the usage in some of the preseason games, and especially week one, if it's, you know, Montgomery 20 touches and Herbert just, you know, occasionally, you know, spelling him when he needs a rest, or if it's, you know, one drive it's Montgomery and then one drive it's a little bit more of Herbert and then back to Montgomery. I think that'll be interesting. It could really impact not only Montgomery, but Herbert as well. I don't think it's a situation where it's like, oh, I'm making sure I draft Khalil Herbert on a lot of teams, because like, yes, he was really good in that stretch with Montgomery out, but it's still what I would expect to be a below average offense with minimal scoring opportunities. But it's definitely interesting to see what the Bears rotation at running back is, because again, it's an entirely new regime. It's an entirely new system.
Maybe I should, I'll take a few more shots on him in my August drafts.
Yeah. Maybe I need to too.
He's not a player I'm going to be excited about, but I do think I'm underexposed.
A player I'm definitely excited about and have been excited about for over a year now is wide receiver Darnell Mooney, coming off, I guess you could say, a mini breakout last season. 81 catches, just over 1,000 yards, only 4 touchdowns, but he was the wide receiver 23 in fantasy. And you want to talk about volume. I mean, Darnell Mooney saw it every game almost. I mean, 26% target share, which was 6th best in the entire league. 9th in reception share at 24%. 9th in receiving yards share at 28%. And he had 35% of the Bears' air yards, which was the 10th highest rate in the NFL. And I talk about first read targets all the time on this podcast. It's one of the advanced stats we have over at FTN Fantasy's advanced receiving numbers. Darnell Mooney saw 33% of Chicago's first read targets. Only Cooper Kupp, Devontae Adams, DJ Moore, and Justin Jefferson had a higher percentage of their team's first read targets. Allen Robinson is gone. There's not a lot of talent at receiver. I mean, how do we not project Darnell Mooney to have another massive target share in 2022?
Yeah, dude, 140 targets is a lot, a lot, a lot. You know, we've talked about Marquise Brown and being surprised that he was in the top 10 in targets. Darnell Mooney only had 5 fewer targets than him. And Mooney had more yards. So, like, I just for a comparison, Mooney had more targets and more yards than Brandon Cooks. And he was like Travis Kelce had 135 targets. Kelce had more yards and way more touchdowns. But like, we're talking about a player that is up there with some really elite names, like fantasy wide receiver ones in terms of volume. And it's not going to go down this year. Like, with Robinson gone, I know Robinson was not a threat last year for some godforsaken reason, but with Robinson not there and they added like Byron Pringle, like they didn't add players that are going to threaten for the top spot. I think Mooney's a lock for this many targets again. And I would say he'll improve if we think Justin Fields is going to improve. I genuinely think Mooney is one of the best players you can draft where he's currently going.
Yeah, and a huge reason I loved Mooney entering last season is the fact that you remember in 2020, he was getting separation at will, but especially on deep routes. And I was like, oh, they drafted Justin Fields, who was an incredible deep passer in college, and we just didn't get to see enough of Justin Fields. But look at that 2020 season where Darnell Mooney had 23 deep targets, only converted four of them, but only 32% of his deep targets were deemed catchable, the 11th lowest rate among receivers with at least 70 targets. Last season, it went up to 41% of his deep targets being catchable. But again, I think that number continues to climb because Justin Fields is going to be there for the entire season, who is a very, very, very accurate deep ball passer. So I like that connection.
Yeah, but he only had 10 deep targets last year. I don't know why Mooney's deep targets were so dramatically reduced. Like, do you think we see that increase?
Yeah.
It has to, right?
Yeah, and like if you look at some of, like a lot of those deep targets came when Fields was at quarterback. Like it wasn't with Dalton, it wasn't with Foles. So I'm fully expecting that to, like, I wouldn't be surprised if it doubled, honestly, especially if they run more play action, which often leads to, you know, deep shots. And if they're taking deep shots, it's going to be to Darnell Mooney. Sure, Pringle will see an occasional deep target or two, but, yeah, I mean, Darnell Mooney, it's the same situation. Like, Cooks' ADP started to finally climb, but it's still not high enough. But like, there's not many teams where Brandon Cooks or Darnell Mooney have not been on my roster. It's just, I think they're the two of the best receiver values you can find right now. And Mooney, immense talent. Like, I think he's a legitimate top 30 receiver in the NFL in terms of talent that doesn't get talked about enough. So, yeah, I'm all in on Fields. I'm all in on Mooney. The rest of the receivers, though, I mean, they drafted Velus Jones in the third round, who really good special teams player, then finally started to break out a little bit towards the end of his collegiate career as a receiver. But 25 years old already, has had a nice combine. He ran a 4.3, 140, I believe. So, have you been taking some shots on Velus Jones late, on Byron Pringle late? I actually think the Byron Pringle signing was good for the Bears. It's just we didn't think it'd be their marquee signing at receiver. and they have, you know, Equanimeous St. Brown, you know, Dante Pettis. Like, it's there's an opportunity there for Velus Jones or Byron Pringle to, you know, in deeper leagues be pretty relevant.
So I literally do not think that I have drafted Velus Jones once, but I have drafted a fair amount of Byron Pringle.
I think Byron Pringle is not like, I think he's a solid player. It's just, like, again, like, yeah. I think when the signing first happened, it was like, this is a nice move for the Bears, and we were waiting for more, and it just didn't really happen.
So I think a lot of people, first of all, Pringle, you can get him in the 18th round in best ball drafts. Like, he's free. So you just, you know, he's like the last player you take and whatever, especially if I draft Justin Fields, I'll just take Pringle just to get the stack.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Fields too. Like, the backdoor stacks are so easy. Like Mooney, yeah. Like you said, wide receiver 30. We'll talk about Cole Kmet, who still goes way too late at tight end. And then Velus Jones, Byron Pringle, like 17th, 16th, 18th round selection. Like, again, it's very easy to attain that.
I think a lot of people might write off Pringle and some of the success he saw. He had some success in 2020 and then more in 2021. He was like kind of breaking out in the playoffs last year and towards the end of the year. I think a lot of people might write it off as a byproduct of Patrick Mahomes. And like, yeah, of course, Patrick Mahomes is amazing. But Mecole Hardman has not been a successful player with Patrick Mahomes. Demarcus Robinson has been like the most boring fantasy football player of all time with Patrick Mahomes. And outside of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, Pringle was the one that seemed to be actually emerging as a trusted target, especially in the red zone. He had 14 red zone targets, four end zone targets. He caught three of those four end zone targets for touchdowns last year. So like, I don't know. I don't know if what I'm saying is makes sense. Like, I think a lot of people are like, oh, Pringle, like he only was catching touchdowns because he was playing with Patrick Mahomes. But like, so were Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson. I just think, you know, Pringle seemed better than both of them. I think he slots in as the wide receiver two in this offense. Maybe Velus Jones eventually does, but I just see Jones like as just the speedster. I see Pringle more as a player that can be used a little bit more around the formation and more around the red zone and the end zone. So I'm not expecting big things from Byron Pringle by any stretch of the imagination, but could he be a player that catches like 40 passes for 600 yards and 5 touchdowns? Like, yeah, sure. And in best ball, I'm willing to be there for the weeks where he catches, you know, 5 passes for 60 yards and a touchdown. So I'm drafting Pringle. Again, not an exciting player, but I just think he's better than people realize. I will say there, he did get arrested, right, in the spring. So
yeah,
I don't know if that will lead to a suspension or anything. The NFL is so weird and so inconsistent with all of this, but that is something worth noting that I think is looming over Pringle.
And like everybody's like pretty much everyone that like is following football is projecting the Bears to be one of the worst teams in the NFL, a candidate to have the number one draft pick next year. And it's like, if they're going to be that bad, they're going to be throwing a lot more than we think. And we know Mooney's getting the targets, but yeah, I mean, there's an opportunity for someone to emerge as a wide receiver too, and maybe not be like a consistent weekly starter, but like you said, in best ball or like deeper leagues, if you're struggling, you know, deep dynasty leagues, like there's an opportunity there for somebody. So
I think Pringle ends up third on the team in targets. I think it goes Mooney, Komet, yeah, and then Pringle, and then probably Montgomery.
Well, that's a good segue because yeah, Cole Komet should absolutely be the number two on this offense. Really weird season last year where he had solid volume, right? He was like top 7 in target share among tight ends, but as we know, failed to score a touchdown in 17 games. But Jimmy Graham's gone. And yes, Jimmy Graham only played 23% of the offensive snaps last season, whereas Cole Komet played over 83% of the snaps. But when Graham was on the field, it was in the red zone. I mean, just it capped the upside. I mean, how many times did you, you know, play Cole Komet in DFS or have him on a fantasy team and see a tight end with the number 8 on the back of their jersey catch touchdown, and you look and it's Jimmy Graham? It's like the Dallas Goedert Ertz situation of Philly all over again. Jimmy Graham last season, 27% of his targets came in the end zone, highest rate at the position among tight ends. So we're obviously expecting touchdown regression in a positive way for Cole Komet, who's already going to see, in my opinion, top 7 to 8 targets in volume at tight end. And he still goes a lot later than I thought. And like, I have him as a borderline top 10 tight end, but he's going like closer to tight end 15 in a lot of these drafts.
Yeah, he's going 4 to 5 spots too late among tight ends. I think he's going to finish as a top 12 fantasy tight end for sure. Like, I think he's one of the safest bets at his where he's currently going. I don't think he has like top 5 upside. I don't even think he has top 7 upside, but I think he will be I do think he will end up producing as a tail
he's,
end.
He's so similar to Dalton Schultz, except Schultz is in like an offense that's an 50 times offense, better. Yeah. But like in terms of like how they win, like they're not doing much after the catch, but they're relying on a ton of volume. Like they're very similar, but Komet goes insanely late. So like, I understand the offense is clearly worse for Komet, but yeah, I know you don't like drafting Dalton Schultz, so.
Yeah, not at all. I would so much rather draft Komet later, so yeah.
And they go, like, Schultz is like the 6th round.
Dude, I saw Schultz go in the 3rd round of the Scott Fishbowl, and I was just like.
Even in tight end premium, that's like I got Kittle in the 4th round.
Yeah, dude, it made my eyes roll. so, Komet, last year.
By the way,
year,
I'm still only in like the 10th round.
Oh, that's brutal. All right, Komet last year, we know he scored 0 touchdowns. Do you know what his expected touchdowns were? This is, again, from the FTN Fantasy Expected Fantasy Points tool.
So the way you're prefacing this, it makes it sound like it's a high number, but I still don't think it's going to be that high. I'll say 4.
It was 4.
Okay.
Which,
I didn't look.
Yes, that's not high, but George Kittle had the exact same number, 3.8.
Darren Cole Waller, Komet, like if you told me he was scoring 4 touchdowns this year, I'd be like, okay, he's gonna have 4 touchdowns, but he's also gonna catch 70 passes. So I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Dalton Schultz was at 4.6 expected touchdowns. Cole Kmet was at 3.8. So yeah, Schultz was expected to score one more touchdown than Kmet. He ended up scoring six more touchdowns than Kmet.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I know we're comparing him to Schultz. Schultz had almost twice as many targets, almost, you know, 300 more yards. Schultz was obviously better than Kmet. Oh, sorry. I'm looking at the totally wrong player. Schultz actually wasn't that much better than Kmet last year. He had 20 more targets, but he only had 100 more or 200 more yards.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the touchdown difference. So yeah, I'm not saying Cole Kmet is going to score as many fantasy points as Dalton Schultz, but I just think Kmet is such a good, player. He scored the worst expected, he scored the worst fantasy points compared to his expected fantasy points among tight ends last year.
Yeah, and it'd be one thing if it was like, oh, he didn't score any touchdowns, and he might get some positive regression, but he's not seeing a ton of volume. Like, it's not even that case. Like, he's seeing so much volume that naturally he's just going to see more touchdowns. You know, 4 to 5 touchdowns for him would be more than enough, considering the amount of catches and targets I expect him to get.
Yeah, he was 9th in expected fantasy points last year among tight ends.
Yeah.
So he's knocking on the top 10 door already.
Yeah. So I've Kmet a lot closer to like tight end 10 than tight end 15, which like he goes after Gesicki, Pat Freiermuth. I'd rather have Kmet over both tight ends that I just mentioned. I understand like as players, Gesicki and Freiermuth have way more upside, but if you're not drafting Kittle, Kelsey, Andrews, Kyle Pitts, if you're not drafting tight ends in that tier, I'm essentially looking for a tight end that's going to run a ton of routes and has a chance to be number two on their team in targets. And Cole Kmet should be number two on his team in targets, and there should be an uptick in red zone usage and production with Jimmy Graham gone. So yeah, that like for me, like Mike Gesicki has zero chance, unless an injury happens, to be number two on Miami in targets. And I don't think Pat Freiermuth has a chance to be number two in targets. Maybe like one or two in end zone targets, but overall targets, no, I think it's Deontay. Then I think it's probably either Najee Harris or, you know, Claypool or somebody. So, yeah, Cole Kmet should be right behind Mooney in targets.
I don't know about right behind. Well, but I think he'll be second.
Yeah, I don't like Mooney's going to get like 130, 140. I'm not saying Komet's going to get 120, but yeah, he should be like, say Mooney gets 140, I think Kmet could get close to 100 or a little bit over 100.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Anything else from the Chicago Bears?
I don't think so. Just we said at the beginning that they were kind of the least interesting team, but I also think they're the team with the most potential opportunity because all of their players are so cheap. So if they if they do end up being an ascending offense and you're in on the Bears, you will, you know, you'll profit pretty greatly.
So the NFC North and the NFC East have now been completed for the team previews. What do you say we go, and the NFC West? Just realize that. So we only have one decision left. I was going to ask which division you want to go to next, but just answered it myself. So NFC West, NFC East, and NFC North are complete. That means we go to the NFC South to close out the NFC. And that's a pretty straightforward division, I would say. Got a little bit more interesting with the trade of Baker Mayfield, but we'll break down those teams, Tampa Bay, Atlanta, Carolina, and New Orleans up next on the FTN DataCast. Appreciate everybody listening. If you could, check us out on iTunes. Give us a rating, a review. All that great stuff helps us out. We appreciate it. And again, it's almost August, like Tyler said. So training camps have already started. I should be at Bills training camp right now, but I'm an idiot and didn't buy tickets because I forgot they're actually good this year. And they have been good. So they sold out very quickly, but I do want to try to get to one training camp for a team. I just don't know who and where that's going to be, but I'm stoked, man. This is like the best time of year. I've been rewatching all the old seasons of Hard Knocks and stuff. Like I'm all in.
You're invested. Let's go.
I'm ready. So for Tyler, I'm Adam. Thanks for listening. As always, we'll be back later on this week to continue our team previews and more great content at the FTN DataCast presented by the FTN Network. Have a great one. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the FTN DataCast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And follow the hosts on Twitter at @APfeiffer24 and @LochnerNFL.